book of Proverbs this morning, Proverbs chapter number 3. And aren't you thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and His willing sacrifice for you and I? Proverbs chapter number 3. Now, I want to read two verses of Scripture here, and then we're going to turn probably to a couple of other places because I assume we'll have time to do that. Then I want to encourage you to be back tonight. I mentioned just a moment ago and preached two messages today that I think will be helpful to us. And so I want you to be back tonight, different subject tonight, but encourage you to be back in the service this evening. I want to preach on a subject that some people get nervous about, but I think that is very, very important for us to do. And if you're visiting this morning, this is just going to be family time for us, and we're just going to have a discussion, that is all. But this morning will probably feel a little bit like a Bible study, a little bit like a business meeting, a little bit like a Sunday morning service, but we'll see what the Lord does in it. And some of you are really curious right now, but look at Proverbs chapter number 3. Are you awake this morning? Are you glad to be alive that God gave you another year, another opportunity to serve Him? Proverbs chapter 3, let's look at verses 9 and 10 this morning for our text. Verse number 9 of Proverbs chapter number 3, honor the Lord. Now, don't you want to honor the Lord? I do. I mean, He's the creator of all things. He's the one who's given me life. It's His air I breathe. He's the one who keeps my heart beating. He's the one who has given me salvation. Don't we want to honor the Lord? It'd be a good thing to honor the Lord. Well, the Bible tells us how we can. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. This morning, I want to preach on a subject I've entitled First Things First, Honoring God with the First Fruits. First Sunday of the year, First Things First, Honoring God with the First Fruits. Lord, we come to you this morning grateful for a new opportunity, grateful for our church and what you've done for us, how you have watched over us, how you've used us. And Father, even this morning as I've glanced around the building, there are people who in the service this morning who a year ago did not know Christ as their Savior. There are some in the service this morning who were not part of our church a year ago, but yet you have worked in their hearts, their lives, with us as a church. And Father, I pray that this morning would be a help to each one of us as individuals, collectively as a church, and we just give you the honor for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is the first Sunday of a new year, and whether everyone makes a New Year's resolution or not, everyone understands there's something about the beginning. There's something about something new. There's something about how you start. The first Sunday sets a direction. The first step sets the path. The first priority sets the tone. As I've already mentioned, I want to preach on a subject this morning that is sometimes misunderstood, and I don't preach with just it as the subject this morning, the subject of giving, if you haven't figured it out yet. I can't remember the last time I preached a message on giving, and I'm not sure if that's good or not. But there are many misconceptions that we as God's church have adopted that are not rooted and based in Scripture. And a lot of the misconceptions are because we don't take the time to see exactly what the Bible says. This morning, you and I should not choose a church on opinion or tradition, but based on what the Bible says. You and I should not practice in our Christian life on our opinion or what society thinks, but what the Bible says. We do not set the priority by what's convenient to us, but what God sets the priority. So I want to talk about this today because it's too important to ignore because it touches the very center of discipleship. It's important for you and I to grow as a Christian. And let me just say this morning. Giving is not a money issue. It's a lordship issue. It's a trust issue. It's a worship issue. I mean, do we pick and choose how we worship God? I want to worship Him when we sing and the preaching, but during that offering time, I don't want to worship Him. I hope we're not living that way as a child of God. It's not a money issue. It's a worship issue. See, today we're just going to, as a church, we're just going to, I'm just going to give you some things in my heart that I've been thinking about over the last many weeks. And the Bible teaches that our giving is part of our worship for Him. It is part of our center for Him. And it's important that we start the new year with Him as the center. It's about putting God first. Now, if God is not going to be first, you and I are going to, it's going to be a lousy argument defending why somebody else should be first. You should not be first. God should be first. I shouldn't be first. God should be first. As much as we love our family and the priority they have in our life, God should be first. So this morning, that's what we're talking about is, where is God in our priority list? Is He just our emergency contact? In case of emergency, contact God? Or is He the center of our life? The center of our home? The center of our walk in practice? It's the first fruits. Now, it is important, and we have many new people, we have visitors this morning, and if you're visiting this morning, I would encourage you to come back again and try us out for the next 25 years. I would encourage you to do that. But it's important for us to be reminded this morning, even those who have been a member of this church for decades, it's important for us to be reminded that as a New Testament church, we do not belong to a denomination. We do not belong to a network of churches. If the economy dips, there's no organization that's going to bail us out and pay our bills. We are an independent Baptist church. We practice the New Testament model. So, well, aren't all Baptist churches the same? They're not all the same. And some can be Baptist and not follow on their name and not follow the New Testament church. And it's easy to fall into a mindset without having the Word of God is that which we come back to and sets the course for us. So everything we do, God intended it for us to fund it. Now let me say, God funds us. And as we fund His work, He will continue to fund us. See, under God, we are accountable to Christ. I'm thankful at this church, we are not accountable to a denomination. We are not accountable to say, well, where's the oversight? I guess God's got that taken care of as the oversight. Now, we have leadership, we have structure, we have that all those things. But the point I'm making is what God wants us to do for Him, He is going to allow us to fund it. Every ministry we operate, say, Pastor, does that mean if somebody that wasn't part of your church wrote you a check, you wouldn't take it? Oh, no, I take it. I take it. So if you know somebody, if you know a guy, let me know. But God's plan is for God's people to take care of God's work. So it's a good reminder for us that this is what God has for us. He plans for us. Now look again at our text in verse 9 and 10 of Proverbs chapter number 3. Honor the Lord. You know, it doesn't take talent to honor the Lord. Well, I haven't been saved as long. I didn't grow up in a pastor's home like you. What does that have to do with honoring the Lord? Aren't you glad God makes it where there's not a caste system? You know, there's not this group and that group. With God, everybody can have a part. Anybody can be saved who'll put their faith and trust in Christ. That's how you got saved. That's how I got saved. It's not exclusive. It's exclusive in the fact that it's Christ, but anybody who can put their faith and trust in Christ. Same thing with His church. That's the plan for His church, is that everybody can serve and everyone can have a part. With the first fruits. This is not the leftovers. and with the first fruits of all thine increase. I want us to deal with a mindset today. And it's that first fruits. I use this as an illustration. This might be typical in most places. I think it probably is. We need to replace something in our home, and so we go out and we get a new one, and then we try and sell it, and we can't get any money for it. We put it on the curb for the garbage to pick it up. They won't pick it up. So then we bring it down to the church and say, "The Lord put this on my heart to bring it to the church and donate it." Which that's not the way we should think. But notice what the Bible says. Do we believe the Bible? Why don't we just refer to the Bible this morning? He says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Now, if there wasn't a verse 10, verse 9 is enough for you and I. I want to honor God. He deserves that which is first. First. That's why the first day of the week. It doesn't belong. Now, I'm going to offend some of you Jaguar fans. It doesn't belong to the NFL. It belongs to God. It belongs to Him. But there is a verse 10. "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty." Do you know why? And I'm not preaching this morning. I don't believe in a name it and claim it. I don't believe in a lot of that charismatic stuff. I don't believe in that. But I do believe there is a God who takes care of His people. And He gave a promise that so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. That verse is not teaching you that if you put God first, you'll be a millionaire. It's not teaching you that if you put Him first, you're going to be generationally wealthy. Now, God may do that for you. And if He does, you'd keep tithing. But if He may do that for you. But that's not what it says. It says plenty. That's more than you have to have. We need to be reminded that the poorest people in America are not the poorest people in the world. We are spoiled. God has been good to us. I know America's got problems. I know America's got difficulties. And many in this room this morning are struggling. I understand that. And I'm not minimizing that one bit. But God has still been good to us. We have plenty. We throw away more food than some people have. We ought to just stop right now and say, "Thank you, God, of your goodness. There's plenty." That means there's more than you have to have. Now, if we get caught up in this materialistic society that is the United States of America, I have to have a vehicle like they have. I have to have a house in a certain neighborhood. I have to have certain things. What I have to have, and the mindset of what you have to have, ought to be the blessings of the Creator, the Almighty, who has promised me, if I put you first, you're going to make sure I have enough. But I got to be able to see what's 10 years from now. God's got that taken care of. My job's to keep Him first. So we see that there is thy barn shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It says, shall be with plenty. Now, man may lie to you, but God is not going to lie to you. He's not capable of lying. And when God says, you shall have plenty, do you know what God means? You shall have plenty. There's not an honest person who's ever walked on this planet who has put God first can say God hasn't taken care of them. Not an honest person on this planet. Not one. Because everybody who has put God first, there might have been days like, I don't know how we're going to get through. I don't know how we're going to keep a roof over our head. I don't know how we're going to be able to. Now the car's broken. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. But God keeps His word. It is counterintuitive to man's logic and America's materialism to say, let me put God first and let Him take care of everything else. Because we want to make sure we have everything lined up and then we'll squeeze God in. Truthfully, when you do that, you're not squeezing God in, you're squeezing God out. And he gives us a command to put him first. Now, as we see that, there are principles in this passage that reaches in every area of life. God is honored when he is first. Now, certainly, we can take first fruits, are you still with me this morning, and apply that to finances. But it's more than that. It's the principle behind that. It's every area of life. You can't say God is first in every area except your finances. But if you'll put God first in that area as well, you're probably going to have him first in every area of your life. On this first Sunday of the year, I want to just give you a simple message, a simple outline, and I have a goal this morning. I'm going to tell you now, before I get into the outline, what my goal for this message is. As a church family, there are three main steps that I want us to take as a church family. You put yourself into either one, two, or three. This is the goal. The first goal I have is for new tithers to start being obedient in their giving. We have a great giving church. And let me say, this is not a fundraising sermon. The Lord has blessed us. Looking back on the year, looking at all the things that God took care of. But what we need, if we are going to keep moving forward, because I believe that 2027 is probably the year that we start building. But we have to make sure that we take care of what we're supposed to take care of as a church. So goal number one this morning is for new tithers to start tithing. That means you don't tithe. That means you might say, Pastor, I'm new at this. I don't even know what a tithe is. I'll get there this morning. And then we can follow up on that. But it's the principle of putting God first. The second goal and the second invitation this morning is for those who have tithed, but they haven't been consistent. And to become disciplined in that area of your life. I've been using the terminology a lot, spiritual discipline. New year started, well, you fell off reading your Bible every day, get that spiritual discipline. Prayer, spiritual discipline. I know I need to be in church every time there's a service, spiritual discipline. The same is true with your finances. So first invitation is for those who aren't tithing to start tithing. And then those who have, or you're just not consistent, or you just put it in, just whatever's in your pocket, you put it in there. Now, giving, I'm grateful for giving, and God blesses whatever gift there is. But that faithful, consistent, God, you're first, the first fruits. And then thirdly, I want members praying about increasing their weekly giving through offerings above the tithe. Because we want to take a step of faith together. I'll say more about that in a little bit. So as we go through the message this morning, and as I see the response from you, and then as I mentioned that, some of you just seem to draw back a little bit. I can preach as long as I need to preach this morning to wear you down. And so let's let the Spirit of God speak to us. Let's let the Bible lay a foundation. And in some ways, the old Southern term, I'm preaching to the choir. This is an above average giving church. Praise the Lord for that. But until we get everybody with the principle of first fruits, we can't reach our potential. There's missionaries that cannot be supported. There's mission endeavors, ministry endeavors that we cannot do. There are things that we want to accomplish until we get everybody on board. Now, let me just throw a negative out. I'll call it a negative out there before I give you all of the positives I'm going to give you this morning. But do we complain about fraud in our government? Do we complain about freeloaders in our country? You know, these lights aren't magic. There's an electric bill that goes with that. There's things that have to be paid for. There's insurance that has to be paid for. And so if I'm going to reap a spiritual, everybody okay? A spiritual benefit, don't you think I should say I'm going to honor God with my first fruits? Let me give you number one, which is the first question of the year. I want to ask you, who is first? I'll not have you turn there because of time, because we are running out of time very quickly, but Matthew 6:33, jot down that reference. But seek ye second the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But seek ye when it's convenient the kingdom of God. No, there's the same principle in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, if you're resistant to the conversation, spiritually speaking and scripturally speaking about money, it shows that your resistance is really to the lordship of God. Because if it touches that which we hold dear, we got to be able to, it's the principle of the first fruits. He's first. He comes before everything else. But seek ye first. Jesus did not say, when He said those words, He did not say seek the kingdom of God when you can. He didn't say seek the kingdom of God after all the bills are paid. He said first. Now, that word first is not just about a calendar. It's about your heart. Where is your heart? Because whatever is first rules. Whatever is first is what we trust. That's why when it does come to giving and money, that's why it's such a revealing area in our life. Whatever is first is what we protect. Not because money is evil, because money is a tool. But the Bible does say the love of money is the root of all evil. So the question this morning isn't, can I afford to give to the church? The first question is, God first. It's not, and some of you ask this question, and you sincerely ask this question, but you need to change your thought process this morning. Can I afford to give? Is God first? See, if you ask the right question, you'll get the right answer. Is God first? If He's first, then it's not a question of can I afford to give? It's I'm giving. So what about everything else? Well, don't we already have the promises? And I don't have time in one Sunday morning to cover all the promises that God makes. But we'll get to some more in just a moment. If He's first, we will order our lives around Him. And this morning, it's not about fear. It's not about the pastor bringing a giving message. It's a reminder this morning that God should be first and central in our life, and everything comes off of that. And one of the great ways to reveal if He's first is in our schedule and in our budget. So you're in the right place this morning on the right day. So that's a good indication of at least the first Sunday, you're where you should be. But how about that budget? Is He first? Number two, we have the tithe. If you can find it quickly, you can turn to Malachi chapter number 3. I say this sincerely this morning, I do think we as pastors, we have not taught on this scripturally enough. Or we have taught on it wrong. Used it with a motive. But the Bible says what the Bible says. In Malachi chapter 3, I'll read verse 8 through 10. The question is asked, will a man rob God? And then God answers His own question. Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now, I've preached a message a couple of times from this passage. It's the issue behind the issue. Now, He's going to deal directly with the tithe. I want us to see from that. But the whole context of this chapter is the tithe is revealing the real issue, and that's a heart issue. And you're robbing God because He doesn't have your heart. And if he has your heart, this falls into place. Verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So how do we solve this? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, let's define the term tithe. The tithe is the first tenth. Say, well, I get the taxes taken out. Then that's not the first tenth. Don't let the government get theirs, and they're going to get theirs before you give God yours. And as a side note, the more you give God first, the less you'll have to give the government. It's giving the first 10% of your increase. Now, the tithe is not the ceiling of generosity. It's the starting line of obedience. Now, again, it's the first fruit. It's that principle. And keep that in mind. It's not the ceiling. It's the starting line. I've used this just as a little bit of humor with a point behind it. Is when you give, he's going to give my tithe, you don't have to round it down to the penny. I mean, you can round it up to the next dollar. That would be okay. What's the tithe? That's the beginning spot. That's just being obedient. Pastor, are you proud of me? I'm tithing. I'm proud of you for being obedient. I'm not proud of the amount of money. God owns everything. He uses us. It's that obedience. I'm proud of, well, he hasn't filled my barn with increase. Well, maybe you haven't been as sick as you would have been. That car you've been driving for 72 years is still running? That might have something to do with it. Just like the children of Israel, their shoes didn't wear out. Same principle. Now, this is teaching us that it is not the leftovers. It's when he's first. Now, don't miss this. Some people will say, well, that's Old Testament. Congratulations. Malachi is in the Old Testament. Yet Jesus affirmed the principle of faithfulness in the New Testament, teaches systematic, intentional giving. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul says, believers were to lay by in store as God hath prospered him. It wasn't random. It wasn't emotional. Now, can I just give you a pastoral frustration this morning? You'll get a missionary in here, and he'll show a bunch of pictures, and we get emotional about that. Now, I don't want there to ever be a day when we don't get emotional about that. Our hearts should be stirred by that. My heart's stirred by that. I always pray, Lord, do you want me to go? I mean, I want to do something about that. But yet when the pastor will get up here and say, we need to take up an offering for this missionary, I was like, oh, another one. But a missionary comes and shows some pictures and it's like, take everything. What the Bible is talking about with him being first is disciplined, systematic, planned giving. In the New Testament, Jesus directly references tithing in Matthew 23:23 and Luke 11:42. In both of these passages, the same account, he rebukes the Pharisees for being meticulous about tithing. They even tithe on the increase of their garden herbs while neglecting what Jesus called the weightier matters, like judgment, mercy, and faith. Then he says, these ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. See, Jesus is condemning their hypocrisy. But he does not dismiss the tithe as irrelevant. He's teaching them that tithing was not the only virtue. You tithe, but you have no discernment. You tithe, but you have no mercy. You tithe, but you have no faith. And so this morning, the tithe, the giving, is not the end-all, be-all in your life. You can write God a big check and still be a jerk. You probably should deal with that as well. You can... I told you this is going to be family talk this morning. So it's not, I'm not teaching this morning that it is going to solve all your problems. It'll keep you cared for. It'll keep you obedient. But Christ is affirming you should be dealing with these other matters while still tithing is what he's saying. So even Christ himself acknowledges the tithe as part of God's plan. See, let me just say it like this. If you don't know where to start, start where God starts, with the tithe. It's not a penalty. It's not a tax. But it really is worship. And the biggest miracle for some families this year is not going to be getting a new car, a new house, a new job. It's going to be getting your priorities right, lined up right, where God is gets the first fruits. So, Pastor, I look at my budget now, and I don't know where I could squeeze out another penny. Well, you're just going to take some work. You're going to have to cut some things out. Well, I can't cut that out. What you're saying is God's not important enough. I don't trust his blessings enough to be able to, and this is why the tithe is important. It don't matter how much money you make, it's all the same as far as God's concerned. Again, God doesn't have a class system. But it is important. And here's the thing. It's like, truthfully, if we were honest, most of us, if we cut out things that were unnecessary, if you just canceled your subscriptions that you forgot about, you could tithe. Matter of fact, I would make sure that's the priority. So let's start where God starts. This is what I believe. I believe so strongly about this. I believe everybody owes God a tithe. So, some of you here today say, I'm not a member here, so thank God. I still think you owe God a tithe. I think if you're unsaved, you owe God the tithe. I think if you're backslidden and living at home, you owe God the tithe. I think that's universally true. He owns everything. And those who watch on live stream, there may have members who can't make it. You found us online to watch us. I hope you can find the online giving too. Pastor, I don't know where that's at. It's Brother Wilson, make sure it is like right next to watch live. Put give now. Matter of fact, they have to give before they can. Well, anyway, put it behind a tithing paywall. That'll work. You get my point this morning. It's the principle. Don't leave here today and mischaracterize what I'm saying. Another preacher just about money. Well, go down to Walmart and complain to them about me. They're not. When Chick-fil-A says my pleasure, they're lying to your face. And there's people in here who work for Chick-fil-A, have worked for Chick-fil-A, and if they're honest, they will tell you, I'm lying to their face. I don't want to be there. They're not paying me enough to be there. The only reason I'm here is because they're paying me. It's not my pleasure at all. But you come down to church and they say, put God first. It's like, oh, just about the money. Now, I'm not denying that. If you're giving your money to Joel Osteen, criticize that. Because that's not what God intended. Number three, I'll start moving quickly-ish. I want us to notice offerings, the overflow of love. Now, the tithe is the baseline. Paul teaches generosity with the right spirit. It's the offering. If you can get there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I don't want you to take these things from my word on it. I want you to see what the Bible says. And if we take issue, we're taking issue not with a Baptist preacher. We're taking issue with the Bible. Well, I don't want to be part of that church. They believe the Bible. That's really what we say if we don't want to be a part of something when it touches our finances. 2 Corinthians 9, look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Make sense? You sow a little, you reap a little. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You sow a lot, you reap a lot. Now look at verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now let me be very clear. This passage is not talking about the tithe. There are some, and it shows their heart, who will use this passage to argue against tithing. And all it's doing is revealing in their heart that they did not want to yield to their Creator. They did not want to yield to their God who loved them enough to save them. They want to be cheap on God. Now, when you file your taxes, claim everything you can claim, get out of paying whatever taxes you can get out of paying. Do that. But when it comes to God, we shouldn't be trying to find a loophole to do less for God. Now, that tithe is the baseline. But this is talking about offerings. Notice what it says in verse number 6. There's that principle. You say, well, I thought I would have more. How much have you sown? There are some who are blessed, and they don't make as much money as you do. And the reason is because they've sown bountifully. And so they have reaped bountifully. But notice verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. God said there's a baseline that I want everybody to give. And then above that, as its purpose between me and you, you give. Notice what else it says. Not grudgingly. Everybody this morning ought to leave here after hearing this message with a big old smile on their face. Amen. I've got a pastor who loves us enough that he's going to tell us the truth about what God says. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us as a church to reach more people. He wants us to do more. And he's willing to tell me the truth at the risk of offending somebody. But we ought to leave here with a smile on our face because it's not about me. It's you and God. He's told everybody, and I've already told you what I believe. I believe everybody owes God a tithe. That's why I don't have a problem asking this world for money. Well, how dare you owe God a lot of tithe. That's just the way I look at it. But this is between you and God, the offering. But cheerfully. Is the saddest time of the service the offering? Are we happy? I get to give God something. Or of necessity, I have to. For God loveth a cheerful giver. It's trusting God's sufficiency. See, offering are where the Lord often moves our heart beyond that baseline obedience into an overflow love. This is where many of the extra yeses, if I can say it like that, of ministry are funded. See, that tithe keeps the work faithful and steady. Offerings fuel the work that reaches farther. Those of you that have business or business owners are familiar with business, you know that you take some things and you have to reinvest it into your company so that you can expand. To put it in that vernacular, that offering is when God says, I want this church to do more with missions and bus ministry and in Sun Bible studies, then there's got to be something that's taken and putting in above the tithe so it can expand. All offerings are going to fuel the work that reaches further. The tithe is obedience. Offerings are worshipful generosity beyond the tithe. One of the clearest biblical examples of an offering is missions giving. The tithe supports the steady work of the local church. Offerings help the church reach beyond its walls. Many of you participate in missions in our Sunday school classes. Those adult classes have adopted a missionary that you're going to give an offering to. So when that Sunday school teacher takes the offering for the missionary, that's between you and God. But let me say this, it shouldn't be, asking for the missionary again. No, it's like, it's between me and God. How generous can I be? What can I do? Do I really need that 12th Starbucks drink this week? Or could I cut back to 10 and give a missionary some support? It's not replacing the tithe. It's loving the Great Commission enough to invest beyond the tithe. Some call it missions giving. Some call it faith promise. Some call it designated missions. But the principle is the same. God's first. Now, He impresses upon my heart to give. I'm going to give. Amen. See, when you struggle with that and you're arguing, you're not arguing with the pastor. I don't think we should do that. No, that's God. See, offerings are not forced. They're not coerced. They're voluntary acts of worship and love. This is why I say we take an offering at certain times of the year, and I say something like this: if you can only give a dollar, put that dollar in. I can't afford anything more than that. But this way you get to be a part. God knows what you can afford. God's not more impressed with somebody who's got an extra $100 than He is with somebody who's only got an extra dollar. It's the same heart surrender. And some of you, I appreciate we take up an offering. You didn't have it, and you know what you did? You went out and you earned it. Because you wanted to participate. That's unheard of. Can I remind us of something I said this past week? That you studied the New Testament church, that early church, that first church. They had one mindset. We go into the city, we're going to win the city to Christ, or they're going to kill us, imprison us, or send us away. It was all or nothing. Well, in order to do something over here, we've got to sacrifice. They sacrificed. That is our standard. That is our example. Let me give you the last one. And this is where I just want to refer back to the three things I said at the beginning and what I'm asking God to do in us. As your pastor and as somebody who's part of this church, I want to first say I'm grateful for the faithfulness of so many. I want us to take a next step of faith. I want us to increase our offerings every week, $2,500 a week. They say, well, Pastor, that's a lot of money. For one person, it's a lot of money. But for this size crowd, that's not a lot of money. This is what I feel like we need as far as our budget is concerned. You say, Pastor, it's tight for everybody. Do you realize that means it's tight for the church too? That's our goal. So are we voting on it? Me and the Holy Spirit already did. Is unanimous. Do we want to keep reaching people? Do we want to keep doing what is necessary? I am not pressuring this. This is what I want us to do on a weekly basis. They say, well, inflation, everything. I get it. But if anybody wants to trade their electric bill with the church's electric bill, just let me know. I'll do that gladly. You know, we have felt the crunch. Now, this is not a keep the lights on. The lights are on. This is I want us to keep moving forward. Doing more, it thrilled my heart this past week to look at the missionary list and say, man, we got five new Sunday school classes taking five. We're going to need more missionaries. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Now, here's how I want to present to us. I'm doing this, but I want to invite you to do it with me. This is what it means. It means if, and I'm not talking to the new tithers right this second. I'm talking to the existing givers. There's some of you, you haven't started tithing yet. I want you to pray, but I want you to just do it. God says do it. You don't need to pray about it. You need to just do it. But if everyone who is currently tithing did something as little as went from 10% to 11%, or 10% to 12%, I'm making the commitment to 15%. Now, you may not be able to do that. That's what I'm doing. I'm only presenting to us as a church, if we're giving 10%, can we go to 11%? So, Pastor, I'm on a fixed income. Okay, 10% to 11%. 10% to 12%. You know, don't get hung up on the math. We're not selling stocks this morning, okay? Maybe it's just I'll add $5, $10, $20 a week. As a family, do something collective like that. But with what this church currently gives, to be able to come up $2,500 a week is very, very doable. This will enable us to keep moving forward, pressing forward for what God wants us to do. What I'm asking for this morning is not equal amounts necessarily or equal gifts. It's equal faithfulness and surrendered hearts. For many, I refer back to that goal I had, the invitation, if you will, is to those who are not tithing yet. Well, if you want more, if you want to talk about it, come talk to me. I'll take the time to walk you through it and explain it more to you. Your Sunday school teacher will. But this isn't a hard sell this morning. This is just a by faith. And I could call testimony after testimony after testimony up here of those who thought just like you did, and once they said, okay, I'm going to put God first, it's amazing what God took care of. It's amazing. Every time we take up a special offering for something, I have multiple people come to me and say, I gave it, and I got an unexpected check, a bonus. Now, there's no guarantee that's going to happen. But it just means that God takes care of it. So I want you to start tithing. Just jump in there. If you're watching the live stream and you're not tithing, this goes for you too. Then I want that second thing. I want those who've been inconsistent in their giving. Well, I just forgot. Don't forget. If it's a priority, you won't forget. I was going to say, do you forgot to take a shower? But that might be true. But just don't forget. Let me help you. Let me give you a statement. A tithe isn't an emotional decision. It's a spiritual discipline. The spiritual discipline. Bring your Bible to church with you. Bring your tithe with you. Well, I paid online. That's even better. But make sure that we take care of it. And then, thirdly, to those who are faithful tithers, pray about going from 10% to 11%. Some of you already do it. 11% to 12, 10% to 12%. Or just adding an extra offering so that we can get that up to where we need it to be. Let me give you a few practical things. I know I'm taking a few extra minutes this morning. Make it first. Don't give God what's left after everything else is paid. I found something to be true in all my years of experience. If you budget it out and you don't have enough money to, quote unquote, don't have enough money to tithe, and you put God at the bottom, you never find that money. But if you put God at the top and you got to find that money to keep your lights on, somehow we always find that money. Or you got to have money to eat somehow. You don't have to have all the things you thought you had to have. Well, say, Pastor, I'd have to eat ramen noodles every day. Oh, God's not worth that. God's not worth that. The point is, He should be first. He should be first. Make it weekly and systematic. A spiritual discipline becomes easier when it becomes a rhythm. When that direct deposit, if you pay it online, that direct deposit hits, you pay it online, or you go ahead and fill out your check right there. Make a rhythm about it. Use the tools available. Envelope, online, app, website. Whatever method you need to use, just be faithful. Let me also issue a challenge of a first quarter faith step. If you've not been a faithful tither, that 10%, why don't you decide for 90 days? For 90 days, you're going to be consistent and tithe faithfully for 90 days on your income. And if God does not take care of you after 90 days, you come see me. I've issued that challenge before, and I've never had anybody come see me. Because they either weren't faithful, they panicked and quit, or God took care of it. This is not, as I've already said, about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping the gospel going out. This is about us saying we want to do more for Christ. I refuse to pastor a church that gets comfortable with what is done. There's still people who need to be saved. There's still lives that need to be changed. There's still another generation that needs somebody to invest in them and for them to be told, you didn't come from a monkey. God created you with a purpose, with a life, with a soul that He sent His Son to die for. And you have value and you have a purpose and you can do something for the Lord. There's still much more to do. And God is letting us have the opportunity to do it. So the invitation this morning will be different. If you need to be saved, I want you to get saved today. That's ultimately where you need to start. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you need to get baptized. So what does that mean? If you come in the invitation, somebody will walk you through it. But it's that identification with Christ. Then if you haven't joined the church, join the church this morning. What does that mean? It's to be saved and baptized. The desire to unite and serve. Then the three that I mentioned. I want you to pray about it. I've already mentioned, if you have not tithed, you can pray about it, but God's already told you, yes, you should do it. But won't you take a moment this morning and make a commitment to God? And then when you leave, either go home and get online and pay it or bring it back tonight. If you've not been consistent, why don't we start the new year outright? There's still time in the day to get that first tithe in. Amen. Set it up consistent. If you have an automatic withdrawal for your other bills, you know, you can do that with your tithe too. Then if you're consistent, I'm just asking you to pray about, would God have you give just a little bit more? I'm not asking anybody to give a lot more. Matter of fact, I'm not even asking anybody to give a little more. I'm just asking you to pray about it. Could you go from 10% to 11%, 10% to 12%? Let's let the Lord speak to hearts this morning. Father, we come to you today grateful for the opportunity we have to serve you. I know not your typical message, but certainly an important one.